Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
UWA 517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. It's Mercury 295. Yeah, something just passed over us. Like a, don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911. You guys busy?
Do we just call them off the UFOs?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there,
taking
airplanes.
Dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, there's four UFOs in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
Four calls
on an unidentified flying object.
All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are joining us from tonight. I hope you're all doing okay. Tonight's guest is Abby from the state of Pennsylvania, sharing her paranormal encounters and a UFO experience in Montana while she was on a solo road trip traveling late at night. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Abby, and welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today. And you're calling from Pennsylvania.
Yes, I am. Central Pennsylvania.
Now, you have some strange events to share with us. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Abby?
Yeah. Okay. So I am, these stories are, I have a couple things that have stuck with me over the years. And that I, you know, whenever I think about stuff like this or, you know, something reminds me of it, these are like the main ones that I remember. Now, they're all from, most of them are from whenever I was a teenager. So about, you know, 15, 17 years ago. And I want to like preface it by saying, growing up in central Pennsylvania, there's not a lot else to do, especially, you know, back then, because cell phones were just coming out. And so we didn't have like a ton of technology and, you know what I mean, stuff like that to keep us busy all the time. So one of the main things that we did a lot was look up places to go and get ourselves creeped out. Me and my friends were, you know, pretty into that. Like I said, not a lot else to do around here at the time. So we would look up places, and there's a lot of like stories around here that we had always heard. But I do want to say, because whenever I've told people these stories, you know, as an adult and whatever, I'd always get the, oh, well, you know, kids, you were probably out drinking or something, or out boozing, or, you know, doing stuff. But I want to say that we were just kids. We were just out looking to get scared and creeped out. And absolutely no one was ever under the influence, because we were always driving to these places and didn't want to get in trouble, or, you know what I mean? That just wasn't really our thing to do. So I want to start out. Well, one of the first places that we would always go to, we'd been there about probably, I want to say like 10 times over the course of a couple years. And it was always me, my high school boyfriend, his sister, who was a couple years younger. And then, you know, one or two of our friends, we would always go and drive around and find stuff to do. So there's this graveyard. We're in central Pennsylvania. And I always say State College is the main place that people think of, because Penn State main campus, that's a really recognizable area that people, you know what you're talking about whenever you say that. But up in that area, it's about 40 minutes from where we're all from, there's this graveyard that we had heard about. And I don't remember if we heard a story or if we looked something up, because the internet was around. I don't know if we looked something up on it, but we had heard that if you drive up there in the middle of the night, whenever there's a full moon, you can see people hanging in the trees. And so that like completely intrigued us. And we were like, oh yeah, let's go do that, you know, and see if we can see anything. And so we'd go up to this graveyard. It was weird because getting there, you drive on a main road, and this is all like a very, very rural area. No cities. State College isn't even a city. So no cities, just like small towns. And so out in the middle of nowhere, and you drive there on this main road, and then you drive back a side road, like a smaller road, and then you have to turn off and you go on a dirt road. And this dirt road is like 5 miles long, and it goes through the woods. And there's a couple houses about halfway through, and then there's just nothing else. You're just driving through the woods on a dirt road. It's weird that a cemetery is up in the middle of the woods at the end of this road. So you're driving and you're driving on this dirt road, and it comes to a turn at the end. You turn right and go up a hill. And at the top of this hill is a graveyard in the middle of a clearing of trees. And I've looked on Google Maps years later, and there's trees for just miles and miles and miles around this graveyard. And so I don't know why it was picked as that's the place it was going to be in the first place. But right before you turn up the hill, the right turn up the hill into the graveyard, there's a house at the end of that dirt road. And it was weird because it always looked like a newer house, like a new construction. And it wasn't like, you know, run down or anything. It wasn't, just looked like a normal house, but there was nothing there. There was no cars. There was nothing in the yard. There was just a house and a barn, like a really old looking barn. And there was never any lights on. So obviously we'd always go at night, but there was nothing, which I'll mention later. So we went up to this cemetery a couple times over one or two summers that, you know, we were in the age that we went and did this stuff. So, and we never saw anything. Obviously we never saw anyone hanging in a tree. You know, there were times that we thought we saw like lights and stuff like that in the woods. I remember like we would get out and walk around, never like disrespected anything, never did anything around the actual graves. We would just walk around like the loop that was this graveyard. So one of the times we went up and we stopped, and I realized now we were absolutely on someone else's property. I would never do this now as an adult, but it was a group of four of us, me, my boyfriend, his sister, and one of our friends. And we wanted to see if anything was in this barn. And so all we did was go up to it, and my friend held my boyfriend's sister up on his shoulders because there was no windows, no way to see in or anything. And she shined a flashlight in, and she said that there was nothing at all in this barn except for a chair in the very center, and it had straps. Like it was a chair, but it had armrests on it, like a wooden chair with armrests. And she said it had straps where the wrists would sit and where you, down on the bottom of the chair where your ankles would be. And so that creeped us out a little bit. And we have no idea why that would have been there or what the reasoning for a chair like that would be in the middle of a completely empty barn on an abandoned property. The thing that happened in this graveyard is one of the very last time we ever went up there, because this happened. We were just up there and we drove around the loop and we're like, okay, this is lame. You know, we're going to head home, go do whatever. It was after dark. I don't know what time of night it was, but like I said, the road going in was dirt. And I want to point out that my car, it was my very first car. It was a Toyota Celica. So it was a very quiet car. I remember sometimes if you were just idling, if I was just parked somewhere, sometimes I would have to rev the engine to make sure that the car was on. That's how quiet this car was. So, and that's important because we were driving down out of the graveyard. My boyfriend was driving, our friend was in the front seat, and me and my boyfriend's sister was in the back seat. And we're driving down out, and there's no sound at all except just us, the tires rolling on the dirt road. We were just pulling down out really slow, and out of nowhere, you could hear, like, I don't know if you've ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but you know how they click the coconuts together to make it sound like a horse running? That is exactly what it sounded like. It sounded like a horse was running behind the car on pavement, a horse like galloping very loud right behind the car. And so we all look at each other, and the radio wasn't on, the windows were down, and my boyfriend just floored it out of there. And it should have never sounded like that, even if there was a real horse behind us, because the road was dirt, dusty dirt, you know. So we tore out of there, and I don't know why now. I don't think any of us actually turned around to see if we could see anything. I don't think we would have been able to anyway because of all the dust that was coming up off the road. But it followed us for a good, we could hear it plain as day for a good mile or two pulling out of there until we hit where the houses actually are on this road. And so I've always remembered that, and it was just like terrifying. You're like, what the heck? And like knowing that actually happened, all four of us heard it, you know. So years go by, and it was just a couple years ago. I wanted to look up the cemetery. So I typed the name of it in. I put in Bogman Cemetery. It's outside of Tyrone, Pennsylvania. And there's five stories that come up right away of people seeing a white horse apparition in this graveyard, or people getting chased out of this graveyard by a horse, you know? And so I just always thought that was kind of crazy, because knowing that happened, and I mean, I didn't report it to anyone or anything. I didn't write into anywhere. So, you know, that there's other people who have had this same experience, which is just, you know, kind of wild to me. So there's that story. Then, the second, thing that I remember and I think about a lot, we used to play the Ouija board a lot, which I don't anymore. I haven't for years, but, you know, again, not a lot to do around there. So we used to play a lot. It was just something to pass time and creep us out. And my high school boyfriend, his neighbor, he was our age or like a year older, but he was very, very nice. He was one of our really good friends, one of the nicest people I've ever met. But he was very into like the occult. And I remember him saying that he lit Bibles on fire and threw them down his basement steps and saw faces in his wall that night and just crazy stuff that I didn't, you know what I mean? I didn't want anything to do with any of that, but we would play Ouija board. And anytime he would play with us, it seemed like something crazy would happen. So we were in my boyfriend's backyard of his house. And like I said, this kid who would always play with us was his neighbor. So he came over and it was four of us, my boyfriend's little sister. I want to point out that where he lived, like I said, the area that we're in is very, very rural. The town that he lived in doesn't even, there's no lights, there's no traffic lights, there's probably barely even a stop sign. Like there's one road that goes through, houses off to the side, and then nothing, you know, for another, there's just like towns sporadically spread out here, but there's nothing major going on here. So there used to be a railroad that ran through this town like years ago. This area is very well known for having a lot of railroad stuff back in the day. Like Altoona, Pennsylvania is pretty close to here. And that, from my understanding, used to be one of the main hubs in the country for rail lines. Like we have the Altoona Curve, it's world famous. And that actually has some stories of its own for like ghost activity. But anyway, the town that he lived in back many years ago had a railroad that ran through it. And there's like a bridge. The one bridge in town arches up real high. It's just a small bridge, but it arches up real high because the railroad used to run right directly underneath it. And so the tracks aren't even there anymore. Like they pulled up the railroad ties and everything. And now it's just, you know, overgrown or grown in or whatever. The railroad used to run like 50 feet from where my boyfriend's house was. And so we're playing the Ouija board in the backyard one day. And it's the middle of the day, like broad daylight. And the planchette's moving around. And of course, you're like, oh, who's moving it? Like one of you is doing it. I know you are. And, you know, just that's just how it goes. So we're playing and this thing's spelling out. And I wish now that one of us would have written something down. I don't even think that any of us had cell phones at this point to record anything or, you know, but I wish one of us would have like taken note of what this thing was spelling out. I remember it was something about a guy. He said he worked on the railroad and we worked out that he was saying that he died on the railroad or fell off a rail car or something along those lines. And so, of course, as playing the Ouija board goes, you ask it to do something to prove that, you know, it's real and it's not just one of your friends moving this around. So we said, okay, so, you know, prove it, do something. And you could hear a train rolling on the tracks, same as the ghost horse, like it was right there, right next to us, rolling on those tracks that didn't even exist anymore and hadn't existed for years. It was so loud. It was like you were parked at an intersection where there's a railroad going past and just, you know, rolling, and you could hear it. You could hear it on the tracks. And then you could hear a train whistle clear as day. Like it was right there in town, right next to us. And it was just, all of us heard it. We were all looking at each other, you know, wondering how we're hearing what we're hearing right now. It was crazy. And I still talk to all these people. They all still remember it to this day. You know, like it just happened. And what's crazy is I remember afterwards asking my parents, hey, is there, you know, because they'd lived there. My friends had lived there their whole life and they've never heard a train. I'd been there for a couple years, you know, all the time up at their house. We've never heard a train. And I remember asking my parents where the closest train track was. And the closest train track that you can't even hear, but the closest train tracks is down. Once you leave the town he lived in, you drive down literally a mountain. We're in the Appalachian Mountains here, and they're not real big, like not like they are, you know, down in West Virginia and stuff like that. It's still a pretty decent hill. It's 9 or 10 miles down into town, and it's very, very thickly, densely wooded areas. So there's no way, because there are trains in the town at the bottom of the hill, but there's absolutely no way that you can hear that, especially as loud and as close as we heard it, like we did. And I don't remember what we did after. I'm assuming we did the close out the Ouija board so nothing happens. But that was just another thing. And we had other stuff happen in that area playing before. We had a light bulb explode, doors slam, just weird stuff. And so I think around that time kind of ended when I messed around with that kind of stuff, because it's scary if you really think about it. But yeah. And so the next thing that I have here is same group of friends. And now that I'm saying this, maybe it was the group of friends I was with that all this stuff was happening. We, like I said, we would go drive around, nothing else to do, and find stuff to creep us out. So down that mountain from the town that he lived in, if you go down there and you drive about 20 miles, it starts getting into Amish country, which is big here, like the Pennsylvania Amish, Pennsylvania Dutch community. Their area kind of starts about a half hour from where I live. So it's a lot of fields start there, like cornfields and crop fields and, you know, just the wooded areas kind of end and you get into those like rolling fields and stuff like that. And so there's this place called Fort Robideau, and I should know more about it. We used to go out there too. Sometimes you can go there during the day. It's like, I believe it's from the Civil War. And it's just the remnants of a fort that was used. But, you know, there's all the stories about that place. And so we'd go out there and drive around and try and find stuff to get spooked and whatever. And so I think we were out there one night, because that's the only reason I can think that we would have been out in this specific area. But we were driving. My boyfriend was driving. Friend was in the front. Me and his little sister were in the back seat. And so we're driving, and there's cornfields on both sides of us, just flat road, straight, completely straight road, cornfields on both sides. And then this road, it goes straight and it has a 90-degree left turn. And the field in front, whenever you're making that turn, the cornfield is kind of on a slope. So whenever we were driving towards it, I guess it was at kind of an incline because our headlights shine directly into like the middle of this field. And the corn, it would have had to been fall because the corn was fully grown. And whenever corn's fully grown, it's 6 feet high, maybe higher. And so we're driving and the headlights are pointing to the middle of this field. And we see this thing standing in the middle of the field. And it was easily 2 or 3 feet above the corn, the height of the corn, and it was covered in black fur or hair or whatever. Not super long, like, you know, it wasn't flowing or anything like that, but it was just standing completely straight up with its arms down at its sides, looking directly at us. And I can't describe it as anything other. It looked like Chewbacca from Star Wars, but with black fur, you know, coarse like black fur. And so we see it as we're driving around the turn, and my boyfriend slammed on the brakes and we all kind of look at each other again, and he puts it in reverse and we back up and try and line back up to where we had all just seen this thing standing, and it was just gone. And we all saw it. We were all, you know, just kind of shocked and wondering what we just saw. And being from here, you know, I know it wasn't a bear, because I've seen bears. They would never be that tall, for one, like a Pennsylvania black bear. And just the way it was standing, it had like a human figure, like arms down at its side with shoulders, you know, and I could only see from like the top of the chest, the collarbone, top of the chest area up, because it was standing in the corn. But I mean, this thing had to be 8.5 feet tall just because of how fully grown the corn was and how much of it we could see standing up out of there. And just in the matter of seconds, you know, 30 seconds that it took him to put on the brakes and back up and line the car back up, it was just completely gone. So that was another really weird thing. And there, I know that there have been sightings, not in that specific area. I don't think I tried looking some stuff up, but just in this general area, I know that we've heard a lot of stories of Bigfoot being seen, but I still remember it like it was yesterday, like seeing that thing standing there. And again, they all remember it too, because I've asked them, you know, as recently as a couple years ago, and they're just like, yeah, I remember that. That was scary to know that stuff like that is out there in the woods, you know, that we're in all the time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, and then another thing that I have noted that happened, I was on a road trip this summer. So this happened just a couple months ago, and this is kind of like my UFO story, I guess. I was on a road trip this summer by myself. I drove out to Idaho to do some hiking, and then I came home and I was going to Northern Michigan. So by myself, and I prefer to drive at night. Like if I have to drive a long distance, I prefer to drive at night if it's kind of in an area that I just need to get through. You know, I'd rather knock all that out so there's less traffic and, you know, just so I can do stuff during the day so I can just get those hundreds of miles out of the way in the middle of the night and then get it over with. So something that I do is I whenever I drive that far, because I do a lot of driving, I do a lot of road trips, and I can do about 15 hours, you know, driving and stopping, stretching and getting a drink and, you know, bathroom breaks and food and stuff like that. But, you know, I can pretty easily do that by myself. So what I do, I find that music makes me kind of tired though. So I'll put on movies, you know, movies that I really like and that I've seen a bunch of times. I feel like if I have 3 hours to drive, it makes it go quicker if I put a movie on, and I don't watch it, obviously. I just put it on Netflix, download it or whatever, and then I play it on my phone and just listen to it, you know. So I usually pick something like I listen to all the Marvel movies on this trip because I absolutely love Marvel movies, and I've seen them so many times that I can just listen to it and kind of know what's happening in the movie. So that's important because it's the middle of the night, probably like 10:30 PM. I left Western Montana I don't remember the town, Bozeman or Billings or one of them, but I was driving across the main highway that you go all the way from whatever part of Montana I was in. It goes past that, but I got on it there and it goes the whole way across Montana, the whole way across North Dakota, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm going to knock this out tonight. So I put a movie on and I just put my phone on my magnetic holder. So I have it there if I get a call or whatever. And I'm just driving along and there's nothing out there. I mean, Eastern Montana, like to where I was at is just, there's just nothing out there. So I knew that there was, I remember thinking, okay, I got a town was like 70 miles behind me. I think I got another like 80 to go until I hit the next town. I'll stop there and top off my gas and whatever. So I'm driving and I have a movie on and I'm just listening to that and just cruising along. And I see this star or what I thought was a star in the sky ahead of me. And so this would have been, I'm driving directly east. So it would have been northeast in the sky. And it was insanely bright. And like, it wasn't big or anything. It was, I don't know, just, I mean, I thought maybe it was a planet or, and I don't know a lot about the placement, you know, like where certain stars are in the sky and planets and the space station and stuff. I just noticed that it was really bright. And so I was just kind of looking at it whenever I was driving and going along. And I stopped at a rest stop, like a pull-off area. So no store or anything like that. Just one of the pull-offs that you can stop and there's bathrooms and like a semi-lit parking lot. And I got out just to stretch. And because I was just getting like tensed up in my car being in there for so long. I'd been driving for a couple hours at this point. And I got in the back and got in my cooler and got a drink out. And I was just standing there leaning on my car. And I over worry about my car whenever I'm on road trips. I stop more than I should because I'm always worried I'm going to like overheat my car or something that would probably never happen. And so I shut my car off and I was just leaning on my car looking up at this bright star in the sky. And so this star, which like I said, it was pretty bright, it shot up in the sky. Like, I don't know how far. It was like an inch in my perspective, but obviously it was way more than that, but it shot straight up out of nowhere. And then continue, like without even taking a break, it shot directly to the right another inch or so. And then it just went straight up in the sky and disappeared. And I was like, I'm looking at it and I'm trying to look and see if I can see this anywhere in the sky. And it's so dark out there and there's no lights except like a real dim one in the parking lot. But you can see it's just so open. You can see everything out there. And it was a really clear night, but there wasn't a ton of other stars in the sky, which I thought was weird, which like I didn't really think about until that point. And then I was probably standing there for just a minute or so and I closed up my cooler and I was getting ready to get back in my car. And I just had this indescribable feeling of absolute dread come over me. And I don't know if it's because I was kind of freaked out about what I just saw, you know, this thing shoot up into the sky. So I cannot even describe this feeling. I was like completely aware all of a sudden that I was absolutely 100% alone out there. Like I hadn't seen any other cars. I hadn't seen, you know, anything. There was nothing out there. And I just want to get out of here. I want to get in my car and keep driving and get out of here. And so I get in my car and I turn it on. And what's weird is the dimmer lights that you can turn the dash lights, you know, the brightness up and turn it down. That has never worked in my car. I've had it for, at that point, 4 years. It's not an old car. It's not brand new. It's a 2014 Toyota, but those dimmer lights have never worked. And I know that they never work because I'll randomly mess around with them. I'll, you know, every couple months or so, I'll just try and get them to work. Because driving at night, I would prefer to have the dimmer light. You know, I'd like to be able to control them. So these lights have never worked, though. I've never been able to adjust them. And I got in my car and turned it on and they were up the entire way. And the first thing I did was take my thumb and scroll the little knob down and they turn down. And so I did it a couple times and they worked perfectly fine. They've never worked before. And then I turn my key the rest of the way to turn my car on completely. And what's weird is the movie that I had on my phone, I left my phone on the magnetic mount on my dashboard. And so whenever I turn my car back on, the movie wouldn't automatically play. I'd have to push play, but my screen would light up because the power reconnected and I had it plugged in. And except the Netflix, the movie, or well, it was on Disney Plus because Marvel, but the movie didn't come back on. Instead, Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire started playing through my Pandora app, which is also very weird to me because I didn't have the Pandora app on. And I also didn't have service. Like, I download these movies. So like whenever I have service, you let the whole thing download so that you can play it even if you don't have service. But my Pandora app won't even open if I don't have service. I think that's just like my phone is messed up, but I can never get it to turn on whenever I don't have service. And whenever I turn my car back on, it came on and Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire was playing and I had to shut it off and close out of the app. So that was also very weird. I'm not sure if anything was connected with that, but so I just got in my car and kept driving and I didn't see the light in the sky anymore that night or anymore during my trip. Nothing else went weird, but my car light is still working, which never worked before. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or if it was just coincidence, but I definitely think I saw something weird because the way it just, you know, I was looking at it and it shot up and then sideways and then up again. It definitely wasn't anything. It wasn't an airplane. It wasn't a helicopter. It wasn't, you know, I can't imagine it would have been a drone because it was obviously far away. Like, this wasn't something that was like close to the ground or anything. It was clearly up in the sky. But yeah, that was just a couple of months ago, like I said, but I haven't been able to figure out what that would have been, you know, other than something not from here, because I don't know anything that we have that can move that fast or in the directions that it did. So there's that. Now, this was in 2012. Me and my friend at the time, it was a guy I deployed with, and we had been deployed to Afghanistan together, and we got back in the beginning of 2012. And he's from Pittsburgh. I'm from Central PA. So I didn't want to move back to Central PA. So I got an apartment in the North Hills of Pittsburgh, and he lived with me. And then also my high school boyfriend's little sister, I've stayed friends with her, you know, since that time. So she also moved out. So there was three of us living in this 2-bedroom apartment. And I pointed out that we deployed together because that year, like 2012, we would have moved into this place, I think, like the end of February in 2012. It was a really bad year as far as like us getting home. And we were both just like kind of readjusting to being home, drinking a lot, you know, just kind of like we fought a lot. It just wasn't a very good year. So I don't know if that had anything to contribute to this, because I don't know. It just, this apartment from the beginning, it gave us kind of a creepy vibe, you know, nothing like major, but I don't know if I believe in like, I believe in a lot of stuff, but I don't know if I believe in like negative energy affecting places or how, you know what I mean? Like how I feel about that, or if that does in fact affect people's everyday lives, you know what I mean? But there was a lot of negativity going on in this place that year. And I only ended up staying, we would have moved in at the end of February. And then I broke the lease on this place, I want to say November of that year. Yeah, because it was right after Halloween. It was so bad. My friend from home, we ended up having a falling out. And like I said, I don't know if this place had anything to do with that. We had this huge fight. We'd never fought before. We had this huge, huge fight. And we ended up having a falling out for like 4 years. But this place, like I said, it gave off creepy vibes. And the whole time we were there, we would notice that I got a dog whenever we got home. I got a puppy. And so he would have been probably like 3 to 6 months old, 9 months old while we were in this place. But he started like barking at the corners of rooms and growling and snarling in the corners of rooms. So we were trying to train him. We were trying to like house train him. And so my dad had always said, you got to leave for 10 minutes and come back. Like leave him out of a cage, leave for 10 minutes and come back. So we do that. Leave for 15 minutes, come back, leave for a half hour, you know, keep extending the time. And we would notice whenever we would do this, we would shut the bedroom doors so he wouldn't go in there, shut the bathroom door so he wouldn't go in there. So we just in the main part, the living room and kitchen, and we would come back and all the doors would be open. And these, you know, it was a nice place. It had doorknobs that latched and stuff. Like he couldn't have just pushed all them open. We would come back and the doors would be open, or we'd leave and, you know, run down the road to get food or whatever we were doing, come back and lights would be on that we had left off, or, you know, stuff like that would happen. Doors would be opening and shutting, lights would turn on and off. Never actually when we were there, we didn't actually witness any of that happening, but just whenever we would leave and come back, and then the dog just going crazy all the time, just barking and snarling into corners. So we were getting kind of uneasy in this place. And then on top of like always kind of arguing and bickering and fighting. And that wasn't really like us. And I kind of just chalked it up to like us just getting home and, you know, just kind of, like I said, readjusting and, you know, getting back into normal life and everything. But it was really, really intense fighting. And then we would just get over it. Like absolutely nothing happened. It was weird. It was almost I remember it was almost feeling like I didn't really have control over why I was so mad and like what we would start these fights about and stuff. And like I said, it ended in one of my best friends. She moved out because it was just too much. And so we would start hearing, like around that summer, we would be sitting in the living room, me and my army friend who was still there. And we could hear stuff moving around in the kitchen whenever we'd be sitting just, you know, 20 feet away in the living room. We would hear pots and pans banging around in the cabinet and, you know, just stuff sliding around in the kitchen. And we would go out and something would be shifted maybe like 5 inches away or just on a different spot on the counter from where it was. And so we were just getting really, really uneasy in this place. And like, I knew something was going on, but also, like I said, we were drinking a lot. So I don't even know why, like now there's no way I'd be in a place like that. I would absolutely be out of there in a second, but I didn't really seem to care at that point, and he didn't either. And so like, it was really disturbing. There was a point that I quit sleeping in the bedroom. Like I would only sleep in the living room because I was just so, like, I always felt like someone was watching me there. And the final straw in that place, I paid $3,500 to break a lease and like move out basically overnight. Next day, my parents were there with a trailer and we moved everything out and I never went back because one night they had storage things that you could rent. These, they were kind of old buildings. The apartments were nice, but I don't know if the buildings were something else before. Pittsburgh has a lot of old buildings and old structures and they remake them into apartments. And so I don't know if that was the case with this place or not. But down in the basement, there was 5 buildings. We were in one, you know, at the top of the hill. And they all looked the same. They all had basements in the bottom. And you could rent like a cage area and for extra storage. And so we went down there to get something out of the area that we had, the space that we had for our apartment. And it was just, these basements had this really, really uncomfortable feeling. You felt like someone was staring at you right behind you. And I snapped a few pictures just because I always deal with places that I feel like are creepy and then look at them later. So I I took a couple pictures of my friend, and he was just making stupid poses, and it was dark. We just had our flashlights to get down to. That's another thing. There was no electricity down there. You had to take a flashlight down. Or during the day, you could leave the door the entire way open, and it would light up the whole thing. But it was on the side of the building. It was a basement, but there was a full access door from the side. And so we're down there, and I just took a couple pictures. Like, I'll just look at them later and see if we can see anything. Like, maybe something will be standing behind you. You know, I just joking around. Like, I always just take pictures in places like that. And so he's making all these poses. And I remember we just went upstairs and went to bed. And I looked at them the next day, and there were these streaks of light. Like, and this was on a camera phone. This is after, you know, Android started making phones. So it wasn't like an old, it wasn't like even like a digital camera or anything. It was on a smartphone. We looked at the pictures the next day, and there was streaks of light, almost a weird exposure or something, but they're going out of his mouth and just out into the room and out of his back and his hands and chest. And all of these pictures just had these weird streaks of different colored lights. I don't even know how to describe it. It looked like it was like from a movie. And I have these pictures somewhere. They're my old laptop. I have hundreds and hundreds of pictures on that I'm trying to get recovered because the laptop won't turn on anymore. But I know these pictures are on there. But that was just it. And I completely forgot. I remember that night we didn't go back and just go to sleep. We went back up to the apartment after I took these pictures, and this guy, my friend, he is not like an emotional person. Like I said, we would argue a lot and fight a lot. And I don't know if it was this apartment doing that because we didn't fight before. Like, you know, he's just like a chill, happy-go-lucky, like always in a good mood, obnoxiously nice, obnoxiously in a good mood. That's like everyone knows, not like in a bad way, but everyone, that's just how they know him. You know what I mean? He doesn't get upset, and he's not mean to people. We got up to the apartment that night from after being down in the storage unit, and he had this breakdown like I have never seen happen to someone before. He was bawling and sobbing uncontrollably. And I can't believe I forgot about that whenever I wrote to you. It was uncontrollable. I didn't know what to do. I was just standing there asking him if he was okay. And, you know, what do you need me to do? I didn't know what to do. I've never seen him like that. And I'd known him for years at this point and living together for a while, you know, and being deployed together. I've never seen this guy like this. And then it was snap of a finger. He just stopped and he was completely fine. And I remember him saying, I don't know what just happened. He remembered everything, but I didn't have any control over that. I don't know what just happened. I don't know why. I just got like unbelievably like just sad and upset, and you know, and then he was fine. And so the next day I moved out, and I paid $3,500 to break this lease, and I just never went back. And you know, so it was pretty crazy. And I've never had anything like that again, you know, in any place that I've lived. So I definitely think that, I don't know, like I said, if it was all the negativity that we had going on with us, maybe like having something to do with the energy in that place or what the deal was, but it was definitely really, really strange. So, yep.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
I've thought a couple times about, you know, finding somewhere to call into, and just, you know, maybe someone else has had an experience a lot like it. And so, you know, I think it's cool to be able to come on something like this and tell my story.
Because there's so many people out there, you know, which have just wonderful stories like this.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I think it's because we messed around with stuff when we were little that we shouldn't have, but I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Who hasn't? Okay. First of all, thank you for your service. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Let's go back to, was it Bogman Graveyard? Is that right? Bogman Cemetery?
Bogman Cemetery, yeah.
Galloping horse. And that chair you found, do you think it could have been like an electric chair or something?
I have no idea. I didn't see the chair myself because, like I said, our friend had to lift my boyfriend at the time's little sister up on his shoulders to be able to see into this place. But I absolutely 100% believe her because, you know, she was like, there's a chair in there. And I think she said it was a wooden chair and it had straps, like it was an old wooden, like a heavy duty, you know, chair with armrests, and she said it had straps where the wrists would have been. And so I don't know. I've seen pictures of, you know, like electric chairs and stuff like that. And that's what I envision. I thought before about maybe going back, but I'm too old for that. That's trespassing now if I go look in their barn.
Yeah, you can get in serious trouble and you could even end up in that chair. You know, and it could have been maybe from an asylum or something, you know, or who knows. That's pretty creepy though, that.
I don't know. Yeah, it was just weird because this house, and we like I said, we'd gone up to that place probably 10 or so times over, you know, the summer. Because it wasn't a far drive, but it was, you know, we had to drive like 30, 40 minutes out there. But we had never seen like this house and barn. There was never a car there, never like any evidence that people actually lived there, but it wasn't run down. Like I don't know what the deal was with that place. And I don't, maybe it belonged to, you know, whoever had taken care of the cemetery before. I don't know.
And the galloping horse, you know, and you looked into any other activity had happened around there. And sure mm-hmm. enough, other people have been hearing this and seeing this white horse.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a bit unsettling because wild to me to think that actually happened. We all remember it happening. We all remember all these stories happening. And I, you know, the fact that other people have reported that to you means that is real. You know, we're not all just up there imagining the same thing. So that's a little unnerving, I think, that stuff like that happens, but it'll also go looking for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's in writing as well. Mm-hmm. And the Phantom Train. I'm wondering if there's any reports in the past of anyone being killed on that line. Quite a lot of vagrants that used to travel on those old trains, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that people have, because like I said, this area, I feel like I should look more into it than I have, because this direct area that I live in and that I've grown up in, like I said, used to be like the railroad capital of the world or the country, from my understanding. It was like the main, it had, you know, the most trains, the most train traffic and railways running at a time in the entire country, you know. And like I said, we have the Horseshoe Curve, which is world famous, and that has a ton of ghost stories around it. So, I mean, if we did make contact with someone or something, I don't have any doubt in my mind that, you know, that was absolutely real, because I'd imagine that there was probably hundreds or thousands of deaths, you know, over the years, back whenever railroads were running regularly, and that was the way of life around here, you know.
I mean, even just in the building alone, you know, you always get quite a lot of casualties with building of railways. Mm-hmm. Sinking Valley, was that the area where you saw this figure in the field?
Yeah, the Bigfoot. So Sinking Valley, I don't know if that's the actual name for it, because there's a lot of places around here, there's a name for it, but it's not actually like on the map. That's just the area that I know it as. It's up past Bellwood, Pennsylvania, kind of, I guess, southeast of Bellwood, Pennsylvania, kind of heading towards, oh, let me see, like the Racetown area, right in between there. I'm not really familiar with that area because that's not a place we would go a ton. Let me see, Tipton, yeah, Bellwood, Tipton. I don't actually see Sinking Valley anywhere on this map, but like I said, people just kind of name places around here and it's not actually official.
Yeah, we got the same rain in my area.
Yeah.
And it's an Amish area, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not like full Pennsylvania Amish, because there's definitely places south of there. You get more towards Harrisburg and, you know, more south that there's a really large Amish community. But it's definitely border of where Amish country kind of starts around here. So, but yeah, and I thought it was weird because, I mean, there's trees around there, but like I said, it's a lot of fields and a lot of just crops and open areas. So, like, I know what we saw. We all know what we saw. There was very clearly, like I said, not a bear, not any type of animal that I've ever heard of or seen around here. Seen plenty of black bears throughout my life. There's no way. And I can't see, I mean, I guess there's always the possibility that it was a person dressed up in something. Definitely not just, it would have had to absolutely been a suit of some type. But I think the odds of that happening out in the middle of nowhere in this field after dark, you know, just the area that it was and the time, the year that it was, you know what I mean? I just don't see that happening, especially around here. I think you risk getting shot if you would dress up like something like that, you know, because there's a lot of rednecks around here.
Yeah, you don't want to be wandering on people's property. And, you know, I've heard that the Appalachians ranges, you know, I've heard they're kind of like a migratory path for Bigfoot. So you never know. He could have just been en route.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Because it's definitely, there wasn't a lot of woods, but I have heard a lot of stories around here, and I never really got really into the Bigfoot stories. I absolutely am open to believing everything. You know, I figure why not believe, you know, in this stuff, because who am I to know what's real and what's not? But I'm into a lot of paranormal stuff, but my dad watches a ton of Bigfoot stuff now. Just recently in the last couple of years, he's always watched Bigfoot documentaries. So I've learned that there's a lot of sightings around here, not in that area, but like Clearfield County has a lot of like wild stories, and out like kind of in between where I am and Pittsburgh, we have Allegheny National Forest, and, you know, just a lot of areas that I think that something could absolutely be in there and probably never be seen.
And it's something that fascinates me as well. I mean, I don't really come from an area where we have Bigfoots, but I would certainly love to live in an area where there is, you know, they always fascinate me. And I think we can also discount that it's an Amish person standing in a field, because they just have just generally beards.
Yeah, he didn't have the hat either, so.
Yeah. Now Montana, I mean, that's an unusual one. I mean, fair play for driving all that distance, you know, on your own. I mean, I'm the same. I would rather drive at night, less cars, but yeah, it certainly takes you into some pretty remote and isolated places.
Yeah, and it was weird, like, because I've driven to Alaska, I've driven, you know, New Mexico, I've driven to all across the entire country, and I've never seen anything like that, and I've especially never had that like sense of absolute dread being completely by myself, because I always travel by myself. I generally, you know, the majority of the time it's just me. I'm always, you know, driving at night and, you know, stopping at rest stops. I do a lot of car camping. That's what I did on the whole trip. I car camped and, you know, camped in dispersed camping by myself in national forest. And I've never once felt like I did, like the second after that thing like shot up through the sky. So I definitely think that, I don't know, I can't definitively say that I saw a UFO or something, but you know what I mean? It is what it is.
I mean, you could probably discount it actually being a star, because, you know, they don't really move, and, you know, you're in the middle of nowhere. So the chance of it being a drone is quite remote.
Yeah. And then, like I said, just the feeling that came over me, and then my car lights coming back on that hadn't worked for the 4 years that I had the car, and the song coming on that's not really a creepy song. I love Johnny Cash. I love Ring of Fire. you know, but hearing that blasting out of my radio unexpectedly after feeling like I had to get out of this area, and just, it was like unnerving. Like I have goosebumps talking about it because it was just so weird. And then my Marvel movie wouldn't play. I couldn't even enjoy that.
I mean, if you did interact with anything, you know, number one, it fixed your car, which is positive, is a good thing. And they obviously have good taste if they're listening to Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I guess we could look at it that way. You know, they did upgrade my car a little bit, help me out, and good music. But yeah, it was very strange. And I just remember I may have been speeding after that happened, just, you know, to get, because like I said, I knew I had about 75, 80 more miles to go until there was a big truck stop, you know, a 24-hour one that's lit up and there's people and, you know, so I think I made it there in like a little, like an hour probably.
It's not uncommon for people to ground floor it when they have an experience like that.
Yep.
I mean, Montana, there's things going on there, so maybe, just maybe.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's called Big Sky Country. I think that's the Montana slogan. And it's just, it's so open up there. And you can just, it was weird because, like I said, it was a clear day, clear night from what I remember. I guess I wasn't paying too much attention, but it wasn't, I pay a lot of attention to the weather whenever I'm out traveling and driving by myself, because I don't want to get caught in a storm. I'm paranoid about tornadoes, you know what I mean? So I know it wasn't like a cloudy night or anything like that, like rain and stuff, but there was like five other stars in the sky, which is weird for out there because it's known, you know, you can go anywhere out there and see billions of stars, you know, on any given night. So just weird.
It's a weird one. Abby, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your experiences with our listeners.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Abby for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week for our final episode of the year. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.